There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Been watching the new season of Worst Cooks.
Yeah.
Just to see and guess which one of them is going to kill their family.
Isn't that interesting? Well, they're definitely good at sharpening knives. Also, I know this is an audio podcast, but just a visual for the audience. As Henry started talking about world's worst cooks, he slunched over, somehow looks fatter, and somehow, like, you became older you started talking about this?
Because I said, always sitting back with the long view of society.
Very nice.
But I sat, and I'm watching Best Week. I'm watching Worst Cook. It's still up. The ending has not been decided just yet.
So what? Okay, hold on a second. Before we get into the murder and the blood of this week, because believe it or not, there's a lot of it. Is the goal to continue to get worse and decline as a chef? So they start good and then at the end you have to make like chicken nuggets and then they're like, you're the worst.
Oh, you got to make the most nauseating slop.
Is that where we are as a country?
No, they are getting better.
They get better.
Because you remember the last winner of Worst Cooks who killed her family, the time she got to the end, let me look this up. Worst Cooks murder.
That's right. I totally forgot that there was a Worst Cook who murdered her family.
When Ariel Robinson, who was such a delight on the show,
she was so
fun. She was a comedian. Everybody loved her on the show. She wiped out her children, and now they removed that entire season.
Really?
That season is not on there at all. They got a new side host. We have one side host left because Anne Burrell's over there because she is locked into Worst Cooks.
She has to do
she
that.
She has to
it's
stay
It's good
there.
For her.
But they get a new host each time and because I think the last one was just shamed about the fact that they were like hobnobbing because you have so much B-roll of them joking around with this woman that then killed her children. And I just always wondered, it's been like, now each one of these shows, which one of you is going to pop off.
You're just asking questions. I think you were correct. I think they have mostly beef roll. I think that is completely true. And let me just tell you this. Is that the Food Network that banned it? That canned that one whole season?
I think technically Discovery Plus is the one.
Well, Discovery Plus, get some freaking balls because WWE has not scrubbed one Chris Benoit match, has not scrubbed one Chris Benoit interview. And if Peacock does that, I am going to be so mad. They're messing with my life now. I hate Peacock so much. I tried to watch wrestling yesterday and everything is locked.
It's what happens.
All right. Well, welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben hanging out with Henry.
Yeah. I just want to start with a hero. I want to give it up to Lil Nas X
Man.
At the very, very top of the show. First of all,
wow, an applause
break. Very, very good. Lil Nas X, he released an unofficial, we have to make sure we keep saying it is an unofficial Satan Nike.
Well, yes, because there's a lot of lawsuits by Nike because evidently they didn't run it by them.
Well,
and apparently Satan and Nike don't get along despite the fact that Nike is indeed worse than Satan.
I mean, that's why we love them, right?
Sure.
But they have these shoes. They have a bronze pentagram attached to them, an inverted cross. And apparently, I don't know whether this is a bit or not. There's supposed to be a drop of real human blood inside of the shoe. Mischief, the people that actually created the shoe, which is one of these, they do hot drops.
Hot drops?
Their whole thing is they do hot, takey, grab your attention style shoes, weirdly politically motivated, but also just art, right? They
just
do like
art.
Very intense, cool, like mini drops of limited edition shoes.
And of course, you know, I was going to put this on Twitter, but I decided I'm going to wait because I'm going to tell you my thoughts right here on this show. Every single Nike shoe has a drop of child's blood in it because children make them.
They work
so
hard.
And they bleed. That's what gives you the hops that allow you to dunk the ball. It's the pain and the suffering.
They only use the best kids. You know it's the most talented kids with the tiniest fingers, the most diligent responses to the thread.
Absolutely, they have to. They're very trained. They're technically better than our children, and we respect them.
They're
very skilled. Thank you so much for what they do.
Look at them. I'm wearing them. No, these are Adidas, but
indeed,
it's fine. These are not.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, these are made by old women.
To be fair, this shoe company, Mischief, they also made a Jesus shoe apparently in 2019. But I have to say, first, I have two questions for you.
Mischief is the one, but also to clarify, now Nike is trying to launch a legal
Oh, they launched it. They ain't trying to.
Oh, yeah, they're suing as many people as they can. But the one that the person that they're suing Mischief and not Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X just put his name on it. And everyone's like, I'll buy it because he's famous and he's the spokesperson for it. And indeed, what a fantastic spokesperson.
Oh, my God. He's perfect.
Question number one. As someone, I know that you like to practice, you dabble in the dark arts of Satanism. What do you think about the commercialism of your spiritual beliefs?
I know Satanism loves commercialism.
Okay, Satanism loves commercialism.
We absolutely love it. The whole point is that you flip it all on its side. You have somebody, you make a statement in the name of Satan, and in a perfect example of why someone becomes a Satanist, Lil Nas X himself has said, like, essentially, you guys are all coming at me with the same bullshit for me talking about Satan as the kind of shit that drove me out of the church in the first place. I mean, of course, he is hijacking the pipes and making Satan a household name again, and which is the only thing the Catholic Church ever wanted.
Well, the Catholic Church, of course, and many evangelical sects as well. Let's not be hypocritical when it comes to blood, because, of course, they love to slam it down their gullets whenever they get a chance. Although in many evangelical communities and churches, they don't use real wine to transition into the blood because there's a lot of former alcoholics. So they just use a little grape juice. And that is 100% true. So it's an interesting story. It is funny to see. I haven't seen like the religious right get upset in a while like this.
It's nice to get them all whipped up.
And of course, they have no leg to stand on whatsoever when it comes to hypocrisy and all of those things. So it's like, it's kind of fun to see like people pretend to be upset. Personally, I am just a little bit upset because I don't like the sneaker that much.
Well, you are not an Air Max person.
Because, as I said before the show, I'm too fat.
You can pop.
Not even too fat. I'm just too big. But the bubbles inevitably pop. And then you have like...
Oh, it's very
every
sad.
Time you walk, and
it sounds like a deflated tire,
and it sounds like you're farting, like there's a little mouse in your pocket farting, and it drives me insane.
It's a sad part of the unequal version of your life, right? You technically have an unfair life because you're bigger. Some people like you better because you're bigger, but your bigger life sometimes leads to you have problems like your deep vein thrombosis.
Deep
and
vein.
Very, very wide feet where you had to come over the house the other night. You had to release your feet from your Nike
Can
blazers
you
for a while.
Can you leave one thing private,
but
please?
I'm just saying, because they're a thin shoe.
I was wearing my new Nikes.
I like those Nike
a
blazers.
A version of Converse, basically.
Yes.
They're very thin.
I can't wear Converse.
And it was because I drank too much beer the night before and my feet were bloated like a pregnant woman, okay? Leave me alone. I'm onto tequila now.
But Lil Nas X is a brave person who stepped forward.
No,
I really do.
He's
I think
making
it's
a bunch of money. It's not that brave. If it would have hurt his career, I think I would say hashtag brave, but it just helped him.
We will see how much of that money he's going to get to keep.
But you know, this isn't the first time that Nike has participated in sort of more macabre things. I've got a pair of LeBrons, and we're not just going to talk about shoes. We have a murder story coming right up.
But this is actually, it fits within the wheelhouse, and we finally get to talk about shoes and Satan at the same time.
Which I am excited about. So there is a pair of LeBrons that are based off the Friday the 13th, where the Nike logo drips blood. LeBron is dunking the ball, but in the vein of Jason Voorhees holding up his sword. It's really awesome. So Nike has dabbled in the horror arts before, and
of course,
if you're Nike, be cool.
They're just mad about how much publicity it got. And I think the main, the main thing that they can't handle is the apparent drop of blood in the shoe, that they can't seem to handle it. But according to Mischief, that each drop of blood came from a member of their staff.
I would hope so. Not just from some random homeless person they found outside of their San Francisco offices. Yeah. I hope consent was involved when getting the blood, or is it just a horrible day to be an intern?
It might be. Lil Nas X also released that video where he full-on grinds on Satan's cock, and I gotta say, wow.
Well, you know, between Dixie Chicks and Lil Nas, isn't country music exploring different avenues?
It's incredible. He's all over that cock, but I will say, I do think he does owe a little bit of a tip of the hat to South Park and their portrayal of Satan and Saddam Hussein's extensive relationship in hell. But at the same time, Lil Nas X, what a hero for Satanism. You did it, buddy. Congrats. And I'm trying to get a hold of these shoes. It's already $2,500.
Don't get a hold of them.
You're
going to get a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff, and it's just going to show up as like a Yeezy.
And
then you're
going to
be like, this is trash.
I got the app. I got the Mischief app to apply for it. I got up at 7 in the morning when the shoe went live to try to get it, but it was gone in maybe 45 seconds. Nicolas Cage.
I'm sure somebody bought all 666 pairs. So Lil Nas X, you know what? Throw a little fun in there as far as news stories go in this day and age. I thought that one was actually quite pleasant, and it involved a drop of blood in a pair of shoes. But isn't that where we are as a society?
Yes, and I do love his response too, where Lil Nas X, all these people are yelling at him, and he's like, you guys are acting like I haven't had 9 months to plan this rollout. So he's just like, he's firing on all cylinders. He's crushing it.
Good for him. And of course, we always support our young and up and coming entrepreneurs, because that's exactly what he is. All right. Well, speaking of, not speaking of anything really like that, let's talk about crime. This story takes place in Michigan. And Henry, you mentioned how you woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure that you were like perky and it was like Cinderella waking up after she married the prince.
She was tired after she married the prince because she was getting railed on all night.
But that's why she woke up so refreshed. Mm. And then the birds put all of her clothes on for you. I'm sure that's how you wake up every single day.
Every day. I am such a delight in the morning.
Yes, I'm sure you don't pick out a bunch of dingleberries from your recently farted butt.
I do that at night.
Isn't that nice? Well, this man in Michigan woke up to a gun to his head. And what did the intruder want from him? Apparently, two of his cats.
Now, you just say two of his cats.
I think he only has two cats.
Okay, because I'm about to say he only wanted two of them. That's sad.
Now, a dude woke up with a gun to his head. It's a 52-year-old man who has not been identified. He's facing home invasion charges because he demanded the dude's cats. This story is kind of insane, as you can imagine, because police are trying to figure out what the hell happened at around 4:15 a.m. on March 24th. The victim says they woke up, gun was pointed at his head. The guy was like, give me your two cats. And apparently there was a massive struggle. He grabbed a cat and left on his own. So I think there's still one cat at the house.
What?
But this guy just has no idea why
wants
the cat.
This sounds like Men in Black 4.
He was later apprehended with the cat, which you can imagine. That's like, you know, let go of the loot before you're going to meet with the cops.
Honestly, of all of the things I think would be really difficult to take is a cat against its will. Wouldn't it be difficult to scoop up a big fighting cat?
Abso-frickin-lutely. This is according to Sergeant Kurt Urkula. He tells People magazine.
Oh my God. Urkula?
Urkula.
Ooh, that's like fucking vampire Urkel.
Big boobed vampire Urkel. He says there was a dispute over the cats. And he goes on to say, I think there was some ownership dispute, but it wasn't the suspect's cats. So this person, at that point, I say, take the cats. I don't know. What would happen if you wake up with
someone
a gun to your head? It's so scary.
And someone's trying to take Wendy?
But isn't that almost a relief? That A, they don't want your wife. B, they don't want you. C, you can get a new dog.
I feel like it would still be traumatizing.
It sucks. But I'm saying out of all the things they could take.
If anybody has to go, unfortunately, if anyone in the house has to go, if it's Wendy, because I've already spoken about this with Natalie.
I hope you talk about this with Wendy.
Oh, I mean, Wendy is already, she's very used to her lifestyle. And so she actually would not understand, no matter how much I explained to her that this was happening and why it was happening. But I have spoken about it with Natalie about how said, like, if we were ever starving, we would have to eat Wendy.
Oh, but Wendy would have died before you guys would have even become starving.
No, you smash your bones, because when it comes down to it, a dog can live for many, many days longer than a human can live without food.
Wow, you're
so
horrible.
You can actually, I'm not horrible. I'm a pragmatist.
That's a horrible thing to do to your dog.
I wouldn't want to do it, and I'd be crying while I was doing it, but at the same time, if I was so hungry, if I was so ravenous, and we've already eaten our leather jackets, which I actually don't even know if you can even do that anymore. Back in the Donner Party days, you could do, but I don't even know if there's enough meat anymore in leather currently for you to consume it and live.
Well, this is why it's very dangerous to invest too much in faux leather, because when the end days do come, next thing you know, it's faux leather. You're getting killed for that because someone just sees you wearing what they perceive to now be future beef jerky, which is basically all a leather jacket will be. They try to cook it up. They're not going to get any sustenance whatsoever. And you died for nothing. So that's not necessarily great.
No.
What I would say is, when it comes to eating my dogs, number one, if there was a gun to my head, I don't have a family, I'd take the bullet. I'd say, you leave Puffin and you leave Jerry alone and
you
leave
shoot
me right here.
Me in the head.
You shoot me in the fucking head.
That's a lot. Because
that's a lot.
What are they going to do without you? He's still going to get the dogs.
When it comes to eating Jerry and Puffin, I think I would prefer that they just slowly eat me.
Well, you know what they eat.
What?
I mean, they just eat you eat.
No, I just got them. No. I got them bacon strips, and I got them the thick cut ones.
Ooh.
I got them thick cut bacon strips.
Okay, dollar bills.
You tell me that's not fancy food. Oh my
that
God.
Is
Every
fancy.
Time one of my friends brings their dumpy dogs over.
Whoa.
And they look at my dogs and they're like, oh, Ben, you just leave the food on the ground. I'm like, no, they're dogs. Don't. They're dogs. And people need to understand that dogs are just, I see them eat vomit.
Very defensive.
I'm not being defensive. I'm just saying when Ed Larson specifically brings his monster dog,
when he brings
Rambo over and he tries to tell me that I am, like, he's like, oh, Rambo can't eat that. I'm like, your dog would eat a baby.
Rambo has, he has problems with his butthole and he has bad diarrhea problems. He's got bad problems.
My dogs don't.
No, they don't. So your dogs are like steel tubes. There is no problem, honestly. There's a lot of energy here. It's a very deep topic.
Every time Eddie comes over with Rambo, he says, oh, Rambo can't have those kinds of bones.
I think he's just saying Rambo can't have it. Not that they can't have it, but that Rambo specifically can't have it. And you can't take that as judgment upon you when it's just a Rambo problem and not a Puffin and Jerry problem.
I understand why moms get livid if someone even says anything about their children.
Oh, of course.
Like, I get
it. Hit the roof. Hit the roof.
I get it. Because
don't tell me how to raise my dog. You don't know me. Don't act like you know me.
And don't tell me when I am shopping at Petco and I'm looking at all the different
treats. That's Pet and Company.
That's Pet and there's a whole company involved with it. You tell me that I don't know how I'm picking out treats for my boys? You're going to tell me that into my house?
This is a lot of emotion.
I'm going to put a gun to your head and demand your cats.
What I learned from this story is the thing that all of our listeners have to remember is that at some point, your enemies have to go to sleep.
That is very
true. I think
that
that's actually more important than this because it seemed to be some sort of ownership dispute over who owns these cats for some reason. And so when it comes down to it, sometimes it really just is about, are you willing to wait in someone's house while they're asleep until they wake up and then go and take those cats? Because in the end, maybe you're more of a father than the person who was asleep ever was. Well, because if that person knew that you were coming to take these cats or had an inkling that somebody out there was coming to come and take these cats, I'd be sleeping with one eye open with my rifle on my lap.
I'd tape a bunch of knives to my cat's fingers.
That's cool as hell.
Let them know. Let them know that the cats are armed, the cats are dangerous, and the cats will mess you up because they're very happy being here. I completely agree with your sentiment. I hear what you're saying. That is, of course, why the Nazi party, that's why the Nazi army were hopped up on crystal meth.
So they didn't have to sleep?
Never sleep, but you do die.
You die early, yeah.
Yeah,
you die. And you lose the war.
And you do lose the war, but inevitably, you might get one of the cats.
You could. I mean, it sounds like one of the cats got away, though. It sounds like he didn't even get that cat, and he's arrested.
And just be careful. Don't steal people's cats. Just always let the animals be.
Just visit and pet.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll tell a story about someone waiting and hiding a little bit later on in this episode. One of the weirdest stories that I have ever seen.
Fucking weird. Ever seen.
Live from your grave.
This is a story about what it's like. Marriages are complex. And there is a lot of working parts in a marriage. And you really have to figure out, like, what does everybody need? What does everybody want? Uh-huh. And the one thing that people like to do is they like to open up their relationship. And they like to maybe have things like some form of threesome. They like to do these types of things, which I think is perfectly natural. But sometimes...
A menage a trois.
Yeah. But sometimes it can lead to murder. I actually want to say 65% of the time.
Untrue. Most threesomes are fantastic. Everyone has a great time. Cum is everywhere, and then they go out to Arby's.
But the problem is that what it can do is set off, she looked at his penis too long. I was supposed to be the one holding her hands. but here's the story. This is Ada Pastor, shot to death by wife, accomplice in alleged murder plot, investigators say.
Gosh.
This comes from Oklahoma, and it is a very Oklahoma crowd. This comes from AD Oklahoma. This is from News 9, written by Brittany Toulis. New shocking details change the story surrounding the death of this Ada pastor, Dave Evans. So Dave Evans, he was a pastor, shot to death. He was shot to death as a murder plot involving his wife. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation said Evans' wife went to the Ada Police Department Thursday morning, investigators, and said she told everybody what happened, which I think is really interesting. Let's go back to our other favorite source, the Daily Mail, which gets a little bit juicier. Pastor's wife, 47, and her lover, 26, are arrested for murdering her husband. So after they had multiple hotel threesomes together.
So they were having a lot of hot sex together in a motel. And again, this is why.
And I'm going to say, I'm looking at this. You say hot sex. I'm looking more like lukewarm sex.
No, physically, the room was very hot. Very That's hot. A lot of meat these are anti.
These are very anti-air conditioning people. Well, an absolutely. Oklahoma pastor's wife. Now, Christy Evans and her lover, Khalil Dreamy Square, have been arrested for the murder of her 50-year-old husband, David Evans. According to the police, they had at least one threesome with Square at a Super 8 motel.
Whoa.
Nice. Oy, 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 oy.
Well, apparently the problem here is, though, and this is the thing with threesomes. So once you have a threesome, you got to make sure all three are
together.
You
have to have a debrief.
Well, you can do a debrief. That's great. Do that. Do a little debriefing. Sure. As if it's a CIA operation gone horribly right. But if you want to continue to have sex with one of the people in the threesome, you have to alert the other person in said threesome. Otherwise, you end up in the band Fleetwood Mac making great album. One
really good album.
So that was the problem here was she, the wife, continued to bang Khalil, but the husband was not privy to this information.
Oh, no,
that may have added a little bit of a riff to the relationship. Yeah. So that was, you know, again, one of the many problems that happened here.
Well, according to this, because first of all, it was not like old Dave Evans was a looker himself. He's looking a little bit like a roadie from Rush. He's got that big steel cross on and the sable goatee. But apparently, after engaging in the group sex, Christy and Khalil, yes, they kept sleeping together. But she started complaining to Khalil that her husband called her this is what I'm trying to figure out. It's what this word that is bleeped out. It is five letters, though. He called her a fat W-H-A.
Oh, whore.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
And then she wanted him dead.
This is the Daily Mail, and they're like, we can't say the word whore. By the way, on the next page, this is called the Gaper of the Week. It's like, thank you, Daily Mail, for being so sensitive.
So she complained to Khalil, call her one of these fat ones, and she wanted him dead because he was so verbally abusive. So on March 22nd, Khalil entered the family's home while they were sleeping and shot the pastor dead in his bed. And you think the whole time she's like, oh, when is he gonna come?
It's like Santa. It's like Christmas night, isn't it?
Because this woman does look like me, shaved and in a wig. He then fled the scene, and Christy called 911, claiming an intruder, some kind of Asian.
Oh, my goodness.
Claiming an intruder had broken in and killed him. 4 days later, she confessed to police because she said she felt bad.
So she actually probably could have gotten away with this because I can't imagine the cops.
I mean, Khalil would have went to prison hardcore for it.
If they found him. I'm not sure if at that point they had even found him. I think what we have here is the single worst woman to ever have a threesome. Obviously could not handle the sexual attraction that she had to Khalil. Her husband and her, when they married, they were actually kind of cute. They were sort of like a long-haired hippie couple. It is so obvious that she was in way over her head. She got deeped, dicked in a way she had never been before.
She finally felt the back of her vagina.
And could not even handle it to the point where she had a murder plot set up. But then also couldn't handle it because then she confessed to the cops. And if you're Khalil, you're like, I did all of this for you. And now you're just going to confess
to
me
jail.
Killing this guy? This is a nightmare times 10.
Well, I just don't know why you can't get divorced or keep fucking him. Tell your husband, hey, I'm fucking this guy. You should go fuck somebody else too. Like, you should go do something.
Well,
let's open it all the way up. And obviously, I feel like David Evans is going to be like, yeah, well, where am I supposed to go? Down by the Hertz? Because honestly, Khalil only got involved because of this, whatever, the pure platinum white heat between him and Christy Evans, which is like, to be honest, she looks like L. Ron Hubbard. If L. Ron Hubbard was a woman.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I mean, he's a younger gentleman, so that helps.
He just went to town on her, but maybe he thought that like there would be some money there. But I don't know if there's a lot of money in a pastor's wife life. Like, I don't know if there's cash to be had?
Is
it just passion? Is all of this just passion unbridled?
I think this is a middle class pastor. This isn't a mega church pastor.
No, he's wearing Old Navy.
There's too much money involved. But the problem is, once again, if you have a threesome, this guy probably likes to be cucked. You just got to invite him back into the room because that's the only appropriate hashtag Christian thing to do. That is what they agreed upon. And she broke the triangle of trust. And then she murdered her husband. And now they're both going away for a long time. And for what?
For a couple of deep dickens.
Absolutely.
Because when it comes down to it, like, I know everybody wants that deep dickin. I get it. I know you're searching for it. Everybody would like it. But when it comes down to it, in jail, that deep dickin' memory is going to go away so fast. You're not going to remember that deep dickin' because it's going to be gone. You have to build, can't let your soul get deep dicked by someone's personality.
Well,
you know, I think that that's really important. And that's the foundation of a solid relationship.
Even more sad, Christy, of course, the woman who killed David or set up the murder of David, they have three children together.
Yes, it's so very sad.
It's a very sad story.
Get a fucking machine.
Well, there's a series of other things other than murdering your husband, yes.
There's so many other things. You get one of those big old kickstand dildo machines.
I've seen Lady Lockup. She's going to find Wendy with the long hands, and she's going to be just
long,
fine.
Thin hands. She's got all those, those manicotti fingers.
Yeah, she's going to find manicotti Wendy fingers, who's just going to, you know, she's going to have a fine time there.
Oh, but that's great.
This is according to the church. Apparently, the church, they had to release a statement, and it's ironically called the Harmony Free Will Baptist Church, which is the most open-minded three words I've ever seen before the word Baptist Church. Harmony Free Will.
It's almost like someone doth protest too much.
Perhaps. So they say, Harmony Free Will Baptist Church has been grieving the death of our pastor, David Evans, over the last few days. The circumstances are now just coming to light, and they have taken us by surprise, and we're greatly saddened. We serve a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. These revelations do not diminish that truth, and we will continue to serve him. That's the one thing about being a pastor. Here today, gone tomorrow, new pastor in town, because at the end of the day, you're just a little middle manager, and God is the CEO.
Oh, yeah, and guess what? David Evans is honestly, you know, he'll go up to heaven.
Will he?
In his own fake. No, he's not going anywhere.
I don't know.
He's just in a coffin.
He's in the three-way, and he's having a three-way in the sky. Which isn't that nice. All right. Well, I've got to tell this story. This is one of the most, like, this story just drives me nuts. Do you want to tell this Ohio story about this dude who lived under the bed?
I mean, this is scary and also, but also weird.
It's so weird. Okay, so there's this dude. His name is Jarrett Wright. He met this victim, a very young girl. I believe she is.
They said between 13 and 18.
Between 13 and 18. Let's say she's, let's go with 15.
Sure.
So he met her on Instagram. Unbeknownst to her mother, he had, first of all, also Jarrett Wright, he had been charged with three counts of rape and one count of producing child pornography. This man is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
So he meets this girl on Instagram. Turns out he was hiding under her bed. She did know he was there. But again, the term consent is not even in the picture.
No, it's not even in the picture.
This is a young, young baby girl. So he was hiding under her bed. He would sneak out at night. He would hold her down and obviously enforce her to have sex with him. And the girl's mom did not know until finally the girl's mom discovered him. And it was unclear as to how she discovered him. It's unclear exactly how long he was staying in the house. They suspect it could be 3 weeks.
I don't know how long a man can live under the bed who is not the boogeyman.
So she was, I mean, obviously being manipulated and trained. Maybe she was bringing him food and
something,
water.
But he's sleeping. But when it comes down to it, I want to say this to any woman.
Oh my God.
Anybody. Never fall for a man who's got to live under your bed. He should have his own bed.
I agree with you on that, Henry. Not always do I agree with you, but on that, you are 100% correct.
Anybody who's got to live under your bed, it's not husband material.
Can you imagine being the mom? When you see this, when you know this man has been under your bed for 3 weeks, that's the thing. When someone like that fantastic film from, what was it, 2 years ago?
Where Parasite?
Parasite.
Yeah, it was great.
The idea of someone being in your house and you don't know it, so you're like, okay. But then once you find out, oh, someone's been in your house for 3 weeks.
Oh, I'd move.
It's so scary.
I'd move. I'd never come back. You'd never find me again. I would be gone. I would be gone so fast. Have you found out like a man could just casually live under the bed? How many times I've been going in there singing I'm Every Woman, vacuuming and all this kind of shit. Meanwhile, he's still under there just jerking off thinking about how he's going to have sex with my daughter at night.
Oh.
And my daughter's a dog.
This is absolutely disgusting. The guy looks like kind of like a Richard Ramirez.
He is like one of these wispy, mustached, loser fuck faces that I have just seen. He's just the type of person who points at words on TikTok.
Jarrett Wright, 20 years old. I mean, I cannot imagine how much more devastating, what more devastating things this man would do in his life if he is ever out. Like, well, this dude is a scary serial predator who, this is why Like the Ramirez story, the one thing that does scare me the most is the idea that you're going about your business and there's someone in the closet.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, and BTK, too. It's very, very scary.
And that's why I don't even like look under my bed because I'm like, I'm not scared. I'm not going to look under my bed. But you got to look under the bed sometimes, I guess.
I check every corner of my house.
God damn.
I check every corner of my house before we go to sleep. And it's just the truth. I do one scan. I do one big old scan. I look through everything just so for. And yeah, maybe I'm paranoid.
No, I don't know.
Maybe I'm fucking paranoid.
I don't know if you are or not. We've been doing a true crime show for over a decade. It comes to a point where are you being paranoid or are you just being cautious
and
irrational?
I don't even know. But this kid, in a way, I call him a kid too. And this is not excusing anything.
No.
It sounds like this guy's also one of these. There must be some storyline he has in his head that this was some form of romance. That this was like a thing that he could do. I don't know what the hell was going on with this fucking moron. But you know what? Now he's going to go to jail for quite a bit of time. I imagine he will see some time for doing this, for, you know, breaking and entering, essentially probably holding a hostage, doing all sorts of shit. So he is going to go to jail and then he's going to not do well in jail either.
Well, and of course he, again, as I said, he was charged with 3 counts of rape and 1 count of producing child pornography. And this whole thing takes place in Cincinnati. So you can almost just hear the monster under the bed slurping Cincinnati chili. Just the
so much of it.
There's
I wish it happened in a city that it didn't have its own chili.
I know, Skyline Chili. It's again
just because it just gives a bad name to chili. And then when I think of him, and I'm thinking of chili, and I don't want to be thinking of chili while I'm looking at you. You know what I mean? I want to be thinking of chili when I'm thinking of the American flag. I want to think about chili when I'm thinking about my family and friends and beers.
When it comes to someone being in your house and watching you, okay, obviously we know, scary, horrible.
Sure.
But
they deserve whatever they see. That's for certain.
But aren't you, I feel like if I found that out, I would just immediately be so embarrassed.
Oh, sure. All of the weird things. Shit that you do alone, yeah, all the stuff that you just deep the in your own personal time, all the times that I've,
smelling your own perineum to make sure that you don't need to shower that day.
That's a health check.
That's a health check. And just to know, but you know what? Now that you said that sentence, I'm actually going to flip it. Good.
Yeah.
Smell my shit.
Watch
see
me do
this. Bend over.
Oh, yeah,
and see
dude.
If I can stretch to my toes today because I'm trying to drop a few LBs. You want to watch me
do
that?
You want to see the boy perform?
But I also have a feeling that people aren't hiding under our beds for a very specific reason.
No. They're not there. We turn them off for some reason.
When
it comes out to it. But honestly, if they did work, they're one of those people that wanted to eat human shit, we'd be a great place for you to come.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you come to our house, you can get some guaranteed hot loaves the fucking second I wake up. Honestly, it's easy. So in the end, you should choose some big galoot versus some tiny woman.
I don't know.
Not even a woman, a girl. Choose a little girl. Go find a big fat man.
I don't. Just don't find anyone. So we don't want to scare everyone who has children out there, but
you should
just
be scared.
Maybe look under the bed.
You should be
tonight
scared.
Tonight and for the foreseeable future. And you know what I would do? I would just, oh my God. I love the first Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Some of the best kills. I don't actually love the twist at the end, to be honest, but it's cool because I'm Jason.
It's fine.
Baby.
I just,
I'm
we were all guy. Jason people.
Yes. But when you just stab through the couch, stab through the bed, and then if you hit something, if it comes up with a little blood on
shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't have been there.
Shouldn't have been there.
That's my house. This is my bed to stab.
Of course, your family will say, mommy's stabbing the bed, and why is she destroying where I sleep?
Mommy is in charge of the house. Mommy chooses what's get stabbed in this house.
And mommy is protecting you, and hopefully your pet turtle or gerbil is not underneath the bed. Because then mommy's going to stab
get him fucking out
pet there. But anyway, that happened in Ohio. That happened in Cincinnati. Be freaking careful. This man is going away. And thank God for it. No one is safe. Not even in bed.
Not even in bed. Now, this story might trigger you, Kissel.
I'm always triggered.
This is an old-timey story. This is an old-timey account of a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, okay.
That I think is really, really fun. It's
Why
from the
1880s. That's fun. I like that.
This is a story that took place in the 1880s. And this was recounted in the 50s. This is this fun story.
Okay.
My name is Rita Swift. I live in Orange County, California. In 1945, my grandfather, George Hoon, told me a story about the time his train hit a large ape creature and bent the cowcatcher on his train.
Oh.
This was in the 1880s, and he was an engineer on a train that ran along the borders of the U.S. and Canada. It was night, And all of a sudden, that train hit something and they stopped the train. Because the cowcatcher was dragging on the tracks. At first, they thought it was a moose. But when they all got out with their lanterns, they discovered this huge, smelly ape.
Whoa!
Hung up in the catcher.
Why do they always have to put the odor of the ape? You think a moose would smell good or a
smelly,
cow smells
smelly,
good?
Funky ape. They only had lanterns for light, and they were in the forest, basically in the middle of nowhere. It took most of the crew to pick it up and lift it to an open flat car. They noticed it was structured differently from a gorilla of ape and smelled so bad, the crew got the smell on them.
Oh my God, like they, in 1850, this construction crew smelled great themselves. You know what? I am getting triggered.
Immediately triggered. They left it on the flat car because it took at least 2 hours to straighten out the cow catcher. Good thing my great-grandfather was also a blacksmith. These were back when men had skills.
Yes, I know they could do multiple things.
They were at least 2 hours from the next water tower and station of sorts, so the brakeman noticed Indians sneaking around the forest. This is from back in the day.
Of course.
When they were ready to go, the crew checked on their smelly passenger, but he was gone. They looked for tracks and decided the Indians had dragged it away to the forest across the stream. Because, of course, they wanted him, you know? They want that stinky corpse.
I guess
they
so.
They washed up in the stream and were glad to get rid of it. The smell had even remained in the flat car. My great-grandfather took pieces of the hair back and gave it to a doctor he knew in Michigan. They had all decided the creature had escaped from a circus or some kind of sideshow. Great-grandfather thought it was 8 feet tall and weighed at least 500 pounds.
Whoa!
Because it took 6 men to carry it off the tracks. When my daughter was a student at California State University in Fullerton in 1986, I met a professor of anthropology. The reason I was there was I donated Indonesian fighting swords to her department.
Oh,
I don't know how you got them.
Humble brag.
They
okay.
were very old and belonged to my husband. I just didn't feel comfortable having them in my home anymore.
Oh, so this is a lot of information. This is a woman that you're interpreting.
I noticed in her office she had information on the walls about a Bigfoot. I told her the story, and she believed it was documented. My grandfather said the ape had a different face than what he remembered of a gorilla. He said the teeth were like a human, but extremely wide and large. The body hair was thick dark brown, with light tipping, and the eyes were large and dark. He said it agreed it was male because of its genitalia. Grandfather continued as a railroad and engineer at the California-Wyoming line until he retired in 1925. He fought off outlaws with a six-shooter from the cab.
Oh.
I have a photo of Grandfather with the crew stopped in Eads, Colorado, with a large cannon hole in the side of the engine. This was in 1898, when some outlaws on horses pulled up an old Confederate cannon along the tracks, fired it at the engine.
Wow.
The crew chased him away but left the train damaged. They were on their way to Durango, carrying bank money from Denver. Grandfather would never tell these stories that were not true. He would never tell stories that were not true.
I don't know about that.
He was a devout Methodist. And he said his prayers so loud every night the whole house could hear him.
I don't know if that means he's an honest man.
I don't know. He had originally come from the Amish, Mercer County, Pennsylvania, but left to fight for the Union in the Civil War.
It's the Amish.
His father did not accept his decision, and he never returned to Mercer, Colorado. Never once. He was born in 1845, and he died in 1947.
Well, number one, a hell of a life. Good work. I fantasize, obviously, about that wild, wild west existence. As a matter of fact, I get my clothes at the Western General Store. But you don't realize, like, it's real dangerous.
Yeah, man, you get shot.
Like, all the time.
They wheeled up a cannon to a train to shoot the train.
Because it had a bunch of money in it, though.
Oh, yeah, that's what's cool. They're running money across on the tracks. Even Sasquatch trying to get that fucking cash money.
That's exactly right, because Sasquatch might want to bring that money to the past, the present, or the future, because, of course, it can transfer through time. But now you try to do that with a Brinks truck, you're just going to get murdered.
You can get murdered, but wasn't there a Brinks truck robbery in Inception? You just have to use the top. And then use your dream technology.
Inception or the one where they wear the funny old man mask? It's
Pigs
and Boys in
the Town.
The Town. I love those.
Love the Town.
Bostonians.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, Henry mentioned genitalia.
Mm.
So we must tell this. This is a feel-good story. Now, I can't personally watch this show because
I hate this show.
I am not a pimple popper person.
No, it disgusts me. I still don't particularly understand how this person has a television show. I don't understand the pimple popper thing. People love it, though.
They love it. And I, again, yeah, that's just not for us. It makes me queasy. But there was a dude And you know how we like our earlobes not to look like testicles?
No, I like my earlobes being real lobey.
Real just a lobey. Well, this poor dude, he had a growth in his earlobe that looked just like a sack of balls.
It is absolutely fantastic. He has a sack of balls grown off his ear, and he said the biggest problem was that when he would walk down the street, the balls on his ear would slap him in the face.
It's so sad. He had this growth for 21 years. The dude is 38, which means he had this at 17. High school is hard enough when you don't have balls dangling from your ear.
He's had it since he was 17 years old. Oh. He said it's a constant source of irritation, and it interferes with his job as a forklift operator.
Also,
and
to make things
he's
even
gotta fucking regularly wash it because it can give off a bad smell.
So he's got a sack of nuts on his ear that can give off an odor.
I'm surprised
smell.
They can't even. I'm really surprised they didn't blur this out. It is such a sack of balls.
It's such a sack of balls. So, but thank God, Dr. Sandra Lee, not to be confused with the woman who is a chef, formerly married to that scumbag up there in New York, she said, I can do this for you. So she went, she gave him she put him on the operating table. She figured it all out. And my God, look at the before.
Yeah.
And then it literally is. It's a sack of nuts.
She talked about how she had to get a whole new set of scrubs because as soon as she popped it with her scalpel, it shot juice all over.
Yeah.
I hate this.
I don't like the show.
He says it's the size and weight of a pear.
Yeah, it's the size of a pear. He says it's heavy. You can see how it just pulls on my ear. It's the size of a pear and it's shaped like a pear. Obviously, he doesn't want to say a pair of balls because it's on his face. And he says it goes from skinny, then fat at the end. And then he says sometimes I'm moving my face really fast and the bubble just starts slapping me.
Oh, that's what he said. And honestly, this is really true because this is where it gets sad. He's like, Depression is real. It started when I was 13, being bullied at that age. I'll take everything out of you. It'll take everything out of you. As big as I was then, I was still soft. I don't like confrontation. That's kind of like you. You're saying how everybody yells at the big guy. And he's like, I'm just tired of people talking about, oh man, look at that ball on his ear. I'm a lovely person, and that's how I want people to see me.
And of course, he got this surgery because he has a wedding coming up. So he found love.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. And the fact that this woman could look past the balls is just great. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you just sling them behind your neck. I've never really understood people that have a problem with something like this where you're like, you can avoid it. It's just there. You have so much other person. And like, you know, you just kind of hide it. You put it in a little pouch or something.
Yeah. Well, according to the doctor, she says it's called a keloid. She says it's usually triggered by trauma. It's usually hard and firm. She says it just kind of feels like kind of tissue. Yeah. And anyway, so just every day wake up and say, I am so happy I don't have balls on my ear, but then also how happy I am that this man was able to find someone to help him. And this was much more than just popping a big zit. This was an straight up
had to cut it open, take all the gunk out of it. They had to cut off, and they had to sew up the bottom of his ear. Ooh. It's really intense. I don't watch this show.
This show, I can you imagine? Because I like to do something called Graze, which is watching Food Network and eating.
Oh yeah, of course. No, you're talking about a daily lifestyle.
Yes, which I know every single dietitian says don't eat tea. Don't eat your TV, but don't eat while watching TV because it doesn't do something like your body doesn't realize that you're eating and then you eat way too much.
What?
It shuts off.
That's
you're supposed,
a lie.
No, you're supposed to focus.
I'm sick of all these doctors lying.
You're supposed to like focus on what you eat and then like not, because when you graze and you're watching Food Network shows, you're naturally going to get hungry.
Well, I got to eat something while I'm watching the Food Network shows because if not, I get so violently hungry, we fight.
But you can imagine someone who eats while watching this show. Mm. And especially it makes you think of an egg. When you get like, if you have like a nice sunny side runny egg, somebody, if you can eat while watching Dr. Pimple Popper, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com, let us know how you can do it.
We have a lot of listeners that are like that though.
Well, and I know in my family, so I am traumatized from pimples because my middle brother, Chris, he would pin me down and he would pop the zits on my back. I guess he liked to do it.
Some people do. I don't understand. I had a girlfriend in high school that liked to pop my blackheads. Then I was like, I don't like it.
But it's nice that they'll do that.
I guess so, but it still kind of hurt.
Well, but it feels good to have. The only thing that I can say about, like, I get the idea of having
the release.
Oof, I get that. I get that because but it just looks so gross. I almost get, you know, when you see somebody with something that's about like a big old zit that's about to get popped. I do wish I could get the sensation of it being popped,
but not see it. I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it, but I like the idea of just being like, ooh, oh, wow, I excavated this toxin, but I don't know how it's a TV show. We pitched all over the place, and we'll never be as famous.
You want to hear a really disgusting story? When I used to be really, really very, very broken and didn't have health insurance, I used to have a problem with getting ingrown toenails because I used to wear shoes, that's the problem, is that when I wasn't wearing shoes that were wide enough for my feet.
Yeah.
And so I used to get really bad ingrown toenails. So what I used to do is stick my foot into a bunch of ice until I got my toe good numb. And then I would light a
needle?
Either a needle. I would use a needle to kind of pop it all out, but then I would use nail clippers that I'd also put under a lighter, and I would use those to just cut chunk and chunk and chunk out of it as my toe would, like, I try to do as fast as possible before my toe stopped being numb.
I used to do that constantly between wrestling and football in high school. Your toes get all janked up and you have to do it. That's not even that disgusting.
Yeah, it's home surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great episode. Do it.
Anyway, just be careful and again, be thankful that you don't have balls on your ears.
Yeah, be thankful. Well, and next week, we're running out of time, but next week I'm going to cover this new alien story because I want to devote some more time to it.
Okay, fantastic. Well, are we on to Hero of the Week?
I believe we are.
All right, let's do Hero of the Week. This story, it's just a special story, and I absolutely love this man. His name is Stuart McDaniel. He is a landlord. He has a lot of properties in Tulsa. As a matter of fact, I think he has 230 properties, 86 which are commercial. This past year has been an absolute nightmare, economically devastating, and this landlord did what I wish every landlord would do. He refused to evict 145 tenants during the pandemic because they couldn't pay
the
rent. And this is like, thank God for people like this.
Having some sense of decency to human beings.
So McDaniel, he acknowledged everyone was hit by the pandemic. And he's like, you know what? I just can't do this. His work has been described by members of this community as not gentrification, but ensuring that the soul of the neighborhood is still kept alive. So he really cares for Tulsa. He's in Tulsa. And he realizes if you got 146 people evicted, what the hell is that going to, like, what's that going to lead to? It's going to destroy your community. And he knew that. So he says, you have to create a home that the family who becomes your tenant loves living in. With affordable rental fees, this work is not just about collecting the rent. And apparently the people that live in his homes, they really like them. Apparently they're well done, well kept up. This is according to Naisha Hall, who actually has a successful daycare. This is what she has to say about Stuart. She says, Stuart made my dreams a reality. We call him the daycare dad. We opened in October of 2020, and we are now at full capacity, serving up to 45 children. And they also Hall named the daycare Tony's Angels Learning Academy.
Man, that's what a nice bit of news.
It's been so fucking hard
out there for so many people. And the idea of just generating more homeless people, like kicking people out of their way, because you just don't understand, is that when you kick them out of their apartment, it starts that descent of like,
massive.
Where will they ever get the chance to normalize? Like, where will they ever get a chance to go and like take care of themselves enough in order to get a job? Like, this is the whole point. We've lost all touch with the idea of like, don't you want the same tenants like in your house? Like, don't you want to keep them? Don't you want to build like a community? Isn't that like, I mean, I guess they don't, well, but I don't understand.
Well, a lot of these massive corporate landlords don't. And this guy, he is much better than them. He says, when it comes to other landlords considering eviction, he says, be mindful that everyone has to give a little during this crazy time. Take a second look at the tenants that are behind you and ask yourself if your actions now contribute to their sustainable success in the near future or not. So, Stuart McDaniel, thank you so much for what you've done in the great area of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Many Oklahoma stories today, some good, some not so good, but this one I'm going to say is great.
It
so,
is
Stuart
good.
McDaniel, congratulations, buddy. And just please take care of each other out there, especially during these trying times.
Okay, here we go. We got some really good we got some good feedback about talking about how easy it was to rip a human ear off.
I know. People were surprised, but then again, some weren't surprised.
No, they weren't. Here's some listener emails. Here we go. Regarding ripping off a human ear, that's a that's a memorable story via my Navy SEAL friend, Frank. He's now 70-ish.
They should have gotten somebody to rip the guys with the balls ear. Why can one? It's 8 pounds of pressure. We don't need to. He doesn't need to go to Dr. Pimple Popper. I could have ripped his fucking nuts off his head.
This is why.
Okay.
He destroyed a guy by grabbing his ear. As the ear doesn't pop off necessarily, it's more like the ear is the pull tab to rip a guy's face off, which is pretty intense. It was pretty intense. He said in another one, he said this guy, I mean, you never know. You can never tell if anything's real or not from somebody who's 7 years old who said that used to be a Navy SEAL, but honestly, this is fun. He said he was sent on a secret mission to assassinate someone and return with the body. He hiked through the Balkans, killed his target, tethered her waist to his, hiked back through the Balkans. He slipped, dropped her body, and then ended the story with, "And that's how I broke my spine."
Oh my God.
Holy fucking shit.
70-year-olds, well, some of them have really crazy stories. Others are just upset that they have to go to parlor now.
Mm-hmm. This is really fun. I took a self-defense class, and the only thing I remember from that is how easy it is to rip off an ear. Apparently, the main thing you want to do is you want to grab the top of the ear with as many fingers as you can, and then rip straight downwards in a straight, forceful, and quick motion. The instructor told us that doing this would, quote, rip an ear off like you were tearing paper. That's fucking sweet.
Is he going to Jigsaw's Academy of Martial Arts?
That's the type of thing. It helps,
I guess.
Okay,
but yeah, that makes sense. You start from the top and pull down. I suppose when it comes to ripping an ear off, that's the only proper protocol.
Okay, and here's this last story. This is interesting.
Okay.
After last week's episode of Side Stories, where you guys talked about various issues you and other LPN family members have had with airport security, I had to write in with my experience flying in Poland, where it's actually you actually operate the plane using little bicycle wheels.
You can do a whole series of funny jokes there.
So many, so funny. Actually, the planes in Poland float. In 2018, I was studying abroad and living in London. Myself and two of my friends decided to take a weekend trip to Poland and Germany. Oh. We first flew to Poland from Heathrow in London to pay a visit to Auschwitz, just like him and Marcus.
Yeah.
We were in Poland for a little less than 24 hours before flying out to Germany, where we were going to spend the rest of our weekend.
Can I just say this, though? When it comes to, like, we went to pay a visit to Auschwitz, that's why I'm always confused on, like, what do you call it? Like, we took a journey to Auschwitz.
Vacation in Auschwitz.
Vacation. Like, there's a lot of different.
We summered at Auschwitz.
Yeah. I don't know. Just hard to approach the whole subject.
It is very, it's intense.
Yeah.
It's intense way to spend a vacation.
Yeah.
Upon going through security at Warsaw Airport in Wieliczki, which on the surface is much less intense than TSA checkpoints in America, to catch our flight to Berlin, myself and one of my friends traveling with me, we had our bags set off some kind of alarm that would be triggering, and we didn't know what would be triggering these alarms. The security agent at the end of the bag scanning machine began yelling in Polish what we could only assume was a question to the room of who these bags belonged to. My friend and I said the bags belonged to us, and we were immediately rushed off into a detention area and searched in a room, some other security area of the airport.
Ooh, scary.
That's not good.
No.
The security agents in the room with us spoke very little English, and of course, being the touristy Americans we did not speak an ounce of Polish. The agents began unpacking our bags piece by piece and asked us to remove our top layers of clothing, our sweatshirts and jackets, and began inspecting those as well. The only English word we could understand from the agents' conversation with each other was the word radiation over and over again. At this point, we were both getting a little freaked out. We were worried we would miss our flight out to Germany and had little to no way of understanding what the agents were saying and what was wrong with our bags. Eventually, a supervisor arrived to the detention room that spoke English fluently. She asked us what we were doing in Poland, how long we had been there, and where we had been during our stay. We told her we were American students studying abroad, that we'd flown to Poland the day before to visit Auschwitz, and that we were now traveling in Germany. She then asked us if we had our bags with us during our tour of the concentration camp, and we told her that we had. She then told the security agents everything was fine and that they could repack our bags and let us go. Long story short, apparently Auschwitz is riddled with leftover radiation it's all over the buildings there. Not clear on exactly what was the case, but why, but I'm sure it has to do with at least a handful of the fucked up shit that went on there during World War II. So apparently if you ever set belongings down on the ground or you rub against a wall or simply spend long enough time in certain rooms while you're on the camp's property, you're very likely to pick up trace amounts of radiation. There there was enough found on our bags to set off the sensors in the bag scanning machine. No, the fact that we had to spend the rest of the weekend knowing we were dragging radiation around with us was a little bit disconcerting. But besides that incident at the airport, the rest of our weekend was lovely. And we did a deep disinfection clean on everything we took with us when we returned to our apartments in London. Wow. That's intense.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Indeed. Auschwitz. Wow. What a nightmare. What a nightmare all around. I did not even realize that.
And apparently the hot dogs, they were awful.
I hope so. I actually hope all of the food that Frank they Fertus. Serve at Auschwitz is bad.
Frank Furter.
For the tourists.
Yep. We also talked about the Americanization of the word Frankfurter in America. And I was actually reading about that. The idea of like the shift from Hot Dog to Frankfurter was almost an intentional movement.
Okay.
Because of what went on. Apparently the Germans were doing a lot of weird shit during World War One.
Yeah.
A weird stuff. And then later on, they did a bunch of weird other stuff.
Well, who knows? All I know is I guess they shouldn't have killed Franz Ferdinand.
He's the problem.
I guess so. I actually just saw a picture of his assassin. Assassins always
they
have
were
such,
children.
Well, it's just
they were little kids. I said, well, not little kids, but they were literally like teenagers.
It's funny the eyes of someone who had just assassinated somebody because there's so much there. Because I think a lot of them really do believe they were going to get a hero's welcome, and then
there
it
is
always
that.
Sort of turns out that it's not that way.
I think there's the hero's welcome complex. I think there's also the straight up, you impulsively do something, not fully considering the implications of your actions, and it's not until you're receiving your mugshot that it's all starting to get it.
Wow.
What you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Side Stories, and thanks for supporting all the shows here.
Get out there. You got to live your life knowing that you have a Lil Nas X ripoff Nike arriving at your home, and you're about to wear it, and you're loving it. You're fucking loving it because everybody's going to be like, ooh, is that the Satanist with the most? And you're like, I am the Satanist with the least because he gives away that which he has to keep his territory strong. That's actually not true. The Satanist, we constantly guard our things.
Yeah.
So honestly, if I did have a pair of Satan shoes, you'd have to fucking pull them off my dead corpse.
You could argue that if everyone was a Satanist, the entire culture would be in total ruins, wouldn't you?
Well, that's why I think that there should be some pushback, and we should start to expand our territory as Satanists to our areas where we live, and understand we should be looking to help our communities.
That's a good
in
point.
Order to make it good for Satanists to live there.
Well, as I've always said, you are in charge of your own life.
Yep.
You are your own God, but that requires you to take care of people, and also it is in your best interest to take care of others, because
also,
what goes around does indeed come around.
And I think that that's the most compelling reason for you to do good things is because it does selfishly benefit you. And if you could just fully understand that every single time you help somebody else, you're helping your entire community be, like, we're only as good as our weakest link.
Absolutely.
So you got to build up these strong links.
And what a fantastic TV Sausages. Show that was. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Hope you're hanging in there. Keep on, listen to Abe Lincoln's Top of this week. We're going to be talking a little bit more serious subject matter. Not that what we don't talk about this show on the show
man.
Is serious.
What are you fucking talking about? This is incredibly serious.
Yeah, I know the whole thing, but we'll be talking about what's going on there in Minneapolis because it is a fascinating.
Raceway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Indianapolis.
Yes, the Indianapolis Raceway. Yes, we'll be focusing mostly on that. And a lot of cars, they go around. I actually... Can we please go to a NASCAR event?
You know I want to.
Okay.
You know I fucking
want
to.
I just want to. I want, like...
Oh, yeah, I'll root for the men going in a circle.
Sure, I don't even know
I
who to root
wait.
For. I'm just going to root for my favorite brand. If there's like a...
Nike.
Captain Crunch.
Ooh. I don't know if Captain Crunch is getting in the NASCAR game.
Whatever it is, I'm going to find my favorite product and just root for that product because they're all dressed like... They're dressed like politicians should dress. Full
fast.
Of logos.
Oh, also make sure you check out, we have Classy Night In that is coming out. It is on Last Podcast Network on Twitch, 6:30 p.m. this Wednesday. It's coming out. I don't know if this is all coming out at the same time. But then make sure you check out all our shows on Twitch slash Last Podcast Network. We are on Thursday nights, Saturday, 2:30 PST. Check out Someplace Underneath and our new show, LPN Deep Dives Dune. Both of them, if you could go to their individual channels and follow them on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts for Someplace Underneath, they would be so grateful.
They would be absolutely grateful. And of course, Thursdays, 5 p.m. PST time, I'll kick your ass.
He'll
Maddie.
Kick your fucking
I'll try
ass.
Anyway. Sometimes I lose, but I'm 10-3. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Mm-hmm.
Check under the bed.
Check under the bed.
Check under the bed right now, wherever you are.
Check under the bed. Check under the bed.
Check under your car. Pull over your car and check under your car.
Quit driving.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.